All right, let's start on time. Welcome. Today I'm going to be talking about creating mutable infrastructures with Kairos. We're a small group. Let's make it a bit intimate. If you have at any point any questions, just raise your hand, interrupt me. It can be a really long topic, but we don't have that kind of time today. So I'm just going to give you like the gist of the whole thing. And you can approach me later on here or online to get to know more about it. Before I get started, I want to share something really personal. In 2013, I came to a puppet camp here. I didn't know it was here in particular. And when I arrived yesterday and saw the place, I was like, I've been here before. And it was, I don't know. It brought so many memories, and it turns out that that was the first tech conference that I joined. Back then, I was starting to work in configuration management system and got very excited. It was a certain period of my life that I enjoyed a lot. And it was my first time visiting Ghent, which I was like, my God, this city is so cool. I really, really liked it. Now, 2025 configuration management camp. I am back here, but now I'm on stage. So thank you, the organizers, to accept my talk, of course. Second, I stopped working on configuration management system and moved into more of these kind of immutable setups that I'm going to be talking about. So it's like a closing of a chapter. And finally, I am living actually in Ghent, so it's, I don't know, life can be like that. Anyway, now let's move on. Hello, my name is Mauro. I work as an open source developer specialist at SpectroCloud. What does SpectroCloud do? We sell managed Kubernetes on all the different public clouds, on Metal as well, and on edge devices. I am part of the Kairos team as a maintainer and developer relationships. And I also serve as co-chair in the CNCF Special Purpose Operating System Workgroup. I also co-host a group here called CNCF Belgian Chapter with two other folks that are back there. So if you're more interested in cloud native stuff, please join us. We're barely getting started. We already have an event coming in March in Antwerp. If you want to know any details about that, reach out. Those are the socials. So, as I was saying, I come from the configuration management world, as maybe many of you also do. And for many aspects, configuration management has served us well, I think. It has been a very practical and useful tool, especially for those of us who manually administrated some servers before. But what if, instead of constantly managing configurations, we could have immutable systems? That's where I want to get with this today. And well, it turns out that it is very much possible to do that today with a tool like Kairos or others that are out there. So let's start by defining what Kairos is. Kairos is an immutable operating system. It's a Linux meta distribution that we call it. Basically, we don't want a vendor lock you into any particular distribution. We know that all of this is open source, but still somehow some companies want you to stay within their open source solution, while we think you should be free to choose whichever you prefer for reasons, right? Like maybe your team has a certain know-how on a certain distribution, you shouldn't have to change because of that. Or maybe because you're already paying licenses on a certain distribution, you probably want to continue doing that with that particular distribution. Kairos is great for running at the edge. So many of the reasons why we moved from configuration management to immutable infrastructures is the fact that you have limitations at the edge that your nodes cannot be calling constantly to a certain server because there's no networking. Or if there are certain issues, you cannot just send someone there because they are a bit too remote to be accessed. Sometimes the only person that can actually access the system is not really technical savvy, things like this. But of course, it's a Linux distribution, so at the end of the day, it also runs on data centers, and it runs on VMs, like a normal Linux distribution. And finally, it is Kubernetes ready. That means that out of the box, just by a couple of lines of configuration, you can spin up either a Kubernetes node or a completely Kubernetes cluster, depending on what you're trying to do. The project is completely open source. It's owned by the Cloud Native Computing Foundation. We are a sandbox project there, so all of our sources are accessible, and you can send PRs, of course. We're more than happy to get your work in there. So where do you start? How do you end up creating one of those immutable infrastructures? Well, like I was saying, you can choose any of the Linux distributions in which we base Kairos on. We have Ubuntu, Fedora, Alpine, for example. But you could also bring your own. We don't, like I said, we don't want to force you to something. As long as it runs on systemd or OpenRC, that's our limitation at the moment, right? But that pretty much covers all mainstream distributions right now. Once you have picked up your OS or your distro of choice, then it's all about cloud init-like configuration. So you will just have a YAML like the one you're seeing there, where I am creating a user with a certain password, with certain authorized keys, where I'm saying I want to have, in this case, the K3S distribution of Kubernetes, and I want it enabled by default. And this will, just like that, pop up a server that will have Kubernetes installed in it with that particular user. How do you install then the node itself? Well, one option is you can go to the web UI that we provide, and you just paste that cloud init or cloud config in it, and you tell it whether you want it to be restarted or not, and it installs completely the node for you. Of course, if you're handling a couple more nodes, going to the web might be a little bit too much work. So we also offer CLI tool to do that. And it's actually quite cool because whenever your nodes start, on the screen they will show a QR code, and you can take a picture of that QR code, pass it to your to our Kairos command line interface, and it will configure that node for you. Now, this is obviously more helpful or allows you to do a little bit more nodes than the web UI, but let's face it, sometimes you might want to manage a fleet, and for that you don't want to be going node by node. For that, we also offer something called Aurora Boot. What Aurora Boot does is that it basically, you can start it up as a server, and whenever a node is spawning in within the network where Aurora Boot is running, all nodes start getting configured by the configuration that you gave. That means that Aurora Boot will go and say, okay, you gave me this configuration, so I'm going to produce ISOs, and I'm going to send it to those nodes, so the node has absolutely nothing, it's just using Pixie Boot, and then it gets picked up by the node, it installs the entire system, it will reboot if you decided for them to reboot automatically, and you have it ready and running, which means that it's also air-gapped ready. You can set up nodes, for example, in your headquarters or in a lab or whatever, which can be a complete set of machines, let's say 3-5 machines that will create a Kubernetes cluster, and then you can just ship them to whatever location you need to send them to. Now, once the system has been installed and spins up, what are you getting? Well, you're getting an immutable operating system. That means that all OS components, including the kernel and the initrd, are read-only. So you're basically reducing the layer for attack. You're reducing the layer for making mistakes. This idea that we have we don't want snowflakes in our fleet, for example, you can really enforce it at this level, right? Like if someone has the password to SSH into a certain machine and they can still install a package, even if your master node is going to go there and change the configuration afterwards, that still means you have a snowflake, even if it's just for a little bit of time, right? But if you have an immutable OS, this cannot happen, because if I try to, for example, on Ubuntu, do an apt install something, it's just not possible. It's going to tell me, I'm sorry, I tried, but it seems like this is a read-only system. Of course, you still need to write things somewhere, right? Otherwise, the node would be useless. And that there, you get certain persistent areas where you can keep information about your applications, for example. Wait a second. Okay, sorry, I changed a bit the slides and the thought got a bit broken there. Anyway, you get this. This area also, of course, where you can save your data and it stays persistent across reboots or anything. Now, once you have your system running, of course, you will want to upgrade at some point. For that, you have to understand that Kairos offers three different partitions on your operating system. The first one is the active one, where you normally are going to be using the OS. The second one is the passive one, which is going to be used in case you want to roll back. We're going to see that in a minute. And the last one is the recovery one, which is used in case things really go bad. Basically, I don't know, is any of you familiar here with AB upgrades? A couple? Okay. So basically, the idea works similar to how your phones upgrade. We download a full image. The full image then gets copied in a transition section of the system. Then once it's finished, it gets moved into active. The previous active first becomes the passive, then the transition one goes into active, and you have the new system. If for any reason your system doesn't boot, Kairos automatically will say, wait a second, this is not good. I'm going to configure it so that I reboot, but I reboot into passive. Why? Because, like I was saying, if this system is running on a remote location and you don't even have people that can come and address the issues, you at least can stay assured that the system is reliably still running. When I'm talking about those images on the upgrades, I'm talking about container images. Basically, Kairos will take an OCI, transform it into something bootable, and create the right partitions in your system to do all of this, which is really cool, because if you're already using Docker and Docker files for anything within your organization, it means, which probably you do if you're interested in Kubernetes, it means that if you need to do some special things on a Kairos image, you can do it without having to learn anything new, but just using Docker containers, right? The other cool thing is that if you already have a Kubernetes set up, or if you want to run Kubernetes through Kairos, for example, you can also install the an upgrade controller that will take the images that you give, and through Kubernetes, you're updating the nodes. The physical nodes get updated through Kubernetes, which is really nice, because you're basically maintaining the whole life cycle of the node gets moved into Kubernetes itself. In terms of security, we really like the idea that is being promoted at the moment to have Trusted Boot. Has anybody here heard about Trusted Boot? Cool. Okay. The concept is this. We already have been using Secure Boot for a very long time, but unfortunately, when we sign images with Secure Boot, the only thing that you are assured is that that image is spinning up to the point of the bootloader. But from the bootloader on, an attacker can really change whatever is inside of your image, and then your completely screwed, right? So what we do here is that we rely on systemd. Systemd will do measurements, will validate measurements that you have using what is called a TPM chip in most Intel modern machines have, which is a way to ensure that nobody has touched neither the kernel, the init RAMFS, the command line. So that means that if by any chance someone tries to, I don't know, put a rootkit on your system, first of all, it's an immutable system. Second of all, if they actually manage for some in some way to change it, the next time it reboots, systemd is going to say, I'm sorry, but this kernel model was not running before, so I am simply going to stop booting from this point on. So you reduce really the attack surface that you can have for these kind of systems. And finally, we also use TPM encryption for the user data. Now you might say, wait a second, why not to the whole OS? Well, the thing is, it's an immutable system. It's all based on open source. So at the end of the day, the base system is completely open. There's nothing you need to hide about it. But obviously, your own data, your intellectual property, you want to keep that as safe as possible. So and on top of that, we do it with the TPM chip, again, because then you can rest assured that if you're signing things with your own keys, there's no way that anyone else can unencrypt it with that without having that TPM chip as well. What does that mean? That if someone steals the hard drive, they are not going to be able to unencrypt it if it's not in that particular machine the next time that they want to unencrypt it, right? Another really cool feature that we have, but I am going to be very honest, this is a bit more experimental, but at least for demos is kind of cool. I don't have the time for a demo today, but I'll tell you a bit about it, is that Kairos already comes with a mesh network integrated. What does that mean? That I can basically take X amount of machines, install Kairos on them, tell them that I want Kubernetes installed on it, and that I want to use the mesh network. And basically, what it will do is, as soon as they start spinning up, they are going to be broadcasting within the VPN and going to start saying, hey, I'm already here. And the network is going to say, okay, cool that you're here, but we're still waiting for some people, right? And then they all start showing up. At the moment that the whole network is complete, it will start saying, okay, now, because we're, let's say, three nodes set up, I'm going to need one master node and two workers. And it will assign to one of the nodes to be the master, the other two to be the workers. And by that moment, Kairos starts configuring those nodes, and you will basically have a Kubernetes cluster out of itself. Like it's really cool because you really don't have to keep track of, okay, my master is here, my workers are here, but it will do it all on its own. Yeah.
Will that change when, like, my master dies or whatever reason? Will it reconfigure somebody else to be the master?
That's where you would have. So the simple answer is no, it will not reconfigure itself. The idea there would be that you pre-plan a high availability one. So you would know that you need minimum this many master nodes. Yeah. But it's something I've played with, and I would really like to have that working. But then you start realizing that other issues start happening because of the kind of data that you have in the different nodes. But yes. So that's another really cool feature that we like to use on Kairos. And again, because the whole thing can be air-gapped, because the nodes can configure themselves, it is immutable, and you can paste inside the node your application configuration, so your Helm chart, for example. You basically just kind of plug and play the system, and you can have a complete Kairos setup without having to touch the node at all, which we think is pretty cool, and you can trust that it has a high-level security, and I would love it if any of you would like to give it a shot, to try it out. If you want to learn more about it, where? Our documentation is in kairos.io. You can also check all of our code in on GitHub, kairos-io. The main repo is called Kairos. And but we also have all other different components there. Everything is open source. You can download one of the releases there in GitHub as well. We have a Slack channel inside the CNCF server called Kairos as well. And we have office hours. The team is in Europe, so it's nice hours for all of us, I would say. If you want to join us, feel free to just reach out. Any questions, there are no dumb questions, requests, whatever. We're more than happy to hear what would be your interest with Kairos, even if it's just for a home lab. We have lots of home labbers, so please join us. And having said that, thank you very much. Do you have any questions?
Do you require the TPM
chip? No, we don't require it. It's just an extra in case you want that level of security. Yeah. Sorry, the question was about whether we require the TPM chip, and that's the answer. Yeah. It will, if, sorry, do we have hardware requirements? It really depends on the Linux distribution that you're picking up. So if you're going with Alpine, of course, the requirements are generally lower. If you're going with Ubuntu, it's a little bit more. And in the case of, it also depends mostly on the application that you are going to be running on the node.
You mentioned the slash home is stored separately, but what about the logs, the container images cache, are those in slash home? And would that storage be encrypted should someone add the TPM?
That's a very good question. So slash home as is persistent. And you're asking what happens to, I don't know, the etsy directory, the var log directory, all of these, whether they are writable and where they happen to be. We try to stay within the traditional Linux directory to not confuse anyone. And what we do is that you can predefine, by default, we make them read-only. But you can predefine which areas you might want to have as writable, but which ones should, sorry, forgot the word right now. So which ones after writing and after reboot, they should be forgotten, for example, and which ones stay persistent across reboots. The home one, for example, stays persistent across reboots. The other ones, what we use is an overlay FS, so that if for some reason you need to do intermediate change or something like that, it can happen. But as soon as the node reboots, it goes back to the original configuration that it used to have. And it's all configurable through the cloud init-like configuration.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyone else? Yeah?
So you're based on known base OSs, like Ubuntu.
Yeah.
Do you also follow their update trajectory?
Yeah, the question is whether we follow the update for that the upstream distributions do. And yes, I mean, what we do is that we have our own cadence, and on each release of our cadence, you will get whatever was at that moment of time. We don't have, when you are downloading our ISOs, you will see which version of Ubuntu, for example, you're downloading. So you get the Kairos Ubuntu 24.04, for example. Yeah. Yeah. Again, let's say that we do our release this week. Then you will get whatever security patches happen up until this week. We do follow a very rigorous system for CVEs because, especially being part of the CNCF, it's kind of a requirement, and we try to have no. So if there are any critical CVEs, we don't release until, I mean, if there is a solution out there, right? Like if there's no solution, we cannot do anything. But we tried not to release any issue that has a critical CVE. Yep.
Could I run like a vulnerability scanning tool like OpenScap or Tribune and just get the same kind of output as a normal Ubuntu or Debian?
Yeah. So the question is if you can run a scanner to see if the vulnerabilities on our images. Yes and no. So in theory you can, but we also tried to reduce the size of the packages in it, at least the Kairos packages, and we do it with UPX. And that means that you will get more space for your own stuff, but all the metadata on our Golang packages will not be accessible for the scanners. So, but what you can do is you can check which version of our packages is installed on your system and check. Well, we already did a scan for them and it's public and you can check whatever issues it might have. Or you can build it yourself, of course, and then you can run the scanners without having compressed the binaries.
I was thinking more about the kernel.
Yeah, all of those you can for sure get them checked. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, it was a pleasure.